turn to Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter. That's where we're going to be here in just a moment. Back to school. I always love the reaction I get. It is this mixed, on some people's parts and on other people's parts, it's like, yes, finally, summer is over, and I'll let you figure out who feels which way. In fact, it's interesting, this morning I had, I don't know how many emails and texts later in the week. So, Pastor, we didn't realize this was the Sunday that you were doing that. We are taking one last weekend out. Please remember us when you pray for the kids at the end, which is what we're going to do when we get to the end of the service. Gather all the students around the front and pray for them. And it's just a neat Sunday. I asked Judy Baxter. Judy is a retired educator. And I asked her, I said, tell me, what is the positive, the thing you liked the best about the first day of school and the thing you liked the least about the first day of school? And it was interesting. She said, the best thing for me is all the new students, new faces, new sets of parents, just everything is fresh and is new. And so there's an excitement to that newness that is there. She said, at the same time, the worst thing about the first day is that my number one priority, the first day of school, teaching third graders, the number one priority, all I had to accomplish all day long was two things. One was to make sure they got to the lunchroom and make sure they got on the bus going home. That was these were third graders now. They didn't have a clue. And she said, so everything to them was new. They didn't know where the lunchroom was. They didn't know anything. We put name tags on them so they can remember who they are and we can remember who they are. And everything is new. And she said, and I told her, I said, Judy, isn't it interesting because the newness is a double-edged sword. The newness to you is an exciting thing, and it does create an excitement, and the newness to them is a negative thing. They don't have a clue where they're going, and you just want to make sure they get on the right bus going home, right? That experience is going to be the experience this week or in the next few weeks in 13,600 public schools. School districts in almost 100,000 public school districts, 5,000 charter schools, 33,000 private schools this week, or in the next few weeks. Some 50 million students will be attending school, starting school this next week. 60 million of them will attend private schools, and 46 million or so of them will attend public schools. And it's kind of interesting. How many parents have got your list yet? You know what I'm talking about, your list of stuff that you need to go back to school. By the way, I pulled some off, and these are off the websites from some of the local schools, and the normal stuff. In fact, I was fascinated. Number two pencils are still on the list. I'm so glad. Man, I remember when I was in school, number two pencils. I don't know, didn't ever know what it was with the number, but aren't you glad? Doesn't it make you feel good? You're not quite as old as you thought you were because number two pencils are still on the list, right? The normal stuff, crayons, two packs, four packs of crayons and so forth. Just the normal stuff you would think. A couple of things did stick out. Blunt scissors. Blunt scissors. Scissors that are blunt on the end, not sharp scissors. That just kind of stuck out in my mind as blunt scissors. It was interesting. All the glue sticks. Teachers, what are you thinking? There's glue sticks. Two glue sticks, three glue sticks, one glue stick. I mean, it's just amazing. Dry erase markers. I found it funny. Beside every dry erase marker, there is low odor. Low odor dry erase marker. I never thought of it before. I cannot imagine being in a room with 24 third graders, all of them dry erase marking, right? And it not be low odor. And before you, everybody in the room is high. You know, off the, one thing that stuck out to me, this is for a kindergartens, on the kindergarten list, a complete change of clothes in a gallon bag with their name on it. for kindergartners. I love it. On the high school list, it says something interesting. Students bring a backpack, and then in parentheses it says, you are not allowed to bring suitcases. I don't know, suitcases? By the way, this list, I looked it up. The average parent will spend $95.44 per child to go back to school. $95, just on this stuff, just on the list stuff. That doesn't even include, according to what I read somewhere, the average parent will spend about $300 per child for clothes. That didn't sound right to me. I don't know when the last time they've been in a store. It just seems like it's going to be a lot more than that. The point that I'm making this morning is this. It's a strange new land that they are going to be entering. I know they've been to school before, but every grade is different. You've changed over the summer. Your friends have changed over the summer. And it's a strange new land. Not only is it strange in that way, it's strange in some other ways too, some serious ways. It's a strange land because of the peer pressure, right? It's a strange land because of what they're going to be exposed to. Parents, you do realize, and teens, you do realize that you're going to be exposed to things that are counter to the way you were raised, the way you were taught. You, in this strange new land, in this strange new world, they're going to hear ideas about evolution and about sexuality and about homosexuality. And it's just a strange new world, a strange new land that they are going to be going into and entering, and many voices that are going to be in that land. That's to say nothing of the pressure to succeed. The pressure to make the grade, the pressure to make the honor roll, the pressure to make the team. It's a strange, odd land that they are going into. I read one statistic years ago that is a sad statistic in my mind that says that 70% of church kids, when they graduate high school, will not return to school, to church, before they are 30 years old. They will leave church before they are 30 years old. 70%. That's an alarming statistic. It is a strange new world that they are moving into. This morning, I want to talk with you, that being the case, I want to talk with you about the one thing you need to know. The one thing that you need to know when you're going back to school. It's kind of an interesting story. We find this story in the book of Deuteronomy. There is a group of people who are actually moving into a strange new land themselves. They are about to cross over. They're about to go into a strange new world, a strange new land. Everything's going to change. Customs are going to change. They're going to enter a new world. They've already been facing the desert. They've been facing hostile armies. They've been facing the wilderness. They're going to face giants and walled cities and fortified cities and trained armed armies. They're going to face great obstacles as they enter in to this strange new land. And on the cusp of entering, that just before they were about to enter this land, God comes to them and he gives them a piece of advice. And what is interesting to me about this piece of advice, one thing that is interesting to me about this advice is what is not in it. What is not in this piece of advice, which we'll read here in just a moment, there's nothing in it about armies. There's nothing in it about battles. There's nothing in it about, there are no strategies. There are no training plans. There are no battle plans. I'm sorry. Do you not find that odd? I mean, we're about to go to war. We're about to enter a strange new land. We're about to go up against walled and fortified cities. And there are no battle plans. Not at this point. I'm giving you a word that you're going to need to go in. No battle plans. No strategies. It's completely absent. Rather, it seems that the word of the Lord is very narrow. A very narrow word that comes to him, and here it is. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, 5, and 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Let me read it again. The Lord our God is one Lord. You shall love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These words I command you today shall be in your heart. The thing that concerned God, listen to me. The thing that concerned God was not the armies. The thing that concerned God was not the walled cities. The thing that concerned God was not even the strange customs, the false gods. Yes, he did have some things to say about that. And he did have some things to say about what they would face. But the thing that concerned God was not, here's a great strategy for overcoming this city. Here's a great plan for entering that battle. That wasn't the thing that concerned God most. Don't you think it odd? Don't you think God should have given him some marching orders? I mean, if I'm about to go into battle, tell me something, God. Tell me what a strategy, a plan. Tell me something. Don't you think God should have given them some intelligence reports? You know, this is their customs. These are their laws. These are the kind of people there are. This is what you're going to face. There is none of that in this instruction, this one thing that is the most important. Instead, what God says is this one enduring piece of advice. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Now listen to me, don't miss what he's saying there. What he's saying there is this. The one thing you need to know most is the voice of God. It's not battle plans. It's not customs. It's not warnings against what you may face. And listen to me, guys, you're going to face some strange things, some odd things. But the one thing that is more important than anything else, more important than the battles, more important than the walls, more important than the armies, more important than the strange customs, more important than the strange laws, more important than the false gods, the one thing that you need to know is you need to know the voice of God. Isn't that true? In fact, that's the main point for my whole sermon this morning, for my whole message is this. The one thing you need to know as you enter strange new lands in life is the voice of God. It's true for the school. It's true for a new job. It's true for a new relationship. It's true for a new ministry. If you are entering a strange new land, the one thing that is most important, Mike, is not the enemy. It's not the walls. It's not the battle. It's not the customs. It's not the false gods. The one thing that is most important in life is knowing the voice of your God. Because the voice of your God will be the same no matter what the battle is. The voice of your God will be the same no matter what the false God says. The voice of your God will be the same no matter what the cost, the customs, or the laws. I'm amazed at what is going on in our society, what the push in society. The push in society is an attempt to try to change what God has said. And that's another message for another time this morning. But in this context, you understand what I'm telling you this morning is that God's voice does not change. It's not going to change no matter who is elected or not elected, who protests or doesn't protest, who converts their ideas or changes their thoughts. God's voice is still the same. And I am glad that it is. I'm glad that God's voice is still the same. I'm glad that I can, no matter when I wake up in the morning, I can count on His voice being the same. Because here's what I do know. Life changes. In a strange new world, you are going to come into contact with things that you don't understand, things that do not make sense, battles that are bigger than you, but God's voice is still the same. The one thing you need to know as you enter strange new lands is God's voice. See, listen, what is interesting this morning to me is how that story mirrors what will happen in school, in classrooms, and in the lives of students all across the land over the next 2, 3, or 4 weeks. That is, that they will be entering some strange new lands. It's a different world out there than it was when you and I were there. It's a different world entirely. The whole issue of sexuality, the whole issue of homosexuality, the whole issue of evolution. I've been out of school for 30 years now. It's a different world than it was when you and I, most of you and I were there. But this is what I do know. And listen to me, teens. I want you to hear me just for a minute, guys. Listen, I know that there's a sense in you that we do not understand because it's different than it was 30 years ago. And I know that there's this sense of that, but what I want you to know is this, is that though the situation and the circumstance may be different, And though we may not understand everything that you are facing in life, here's what we do understand. The voice of God is still the same. The voice of God is still the same. It hasn't changed. And the voice of God that got me through, and the voice of God that got my daughters through, is the same voice of God that will get you through. The voice of God that guided your parents and your grandparents. Yes, the world changes. Be boring if it didn't. Be odd if it didn't. It just would be one big morass of the same thing. No, the voice of God, though, is the same. It is the constant. It never changes. And so when you enter a strange new world, a strange new land, the voice of God is the main thing, the one thing. In fact, it is interesting. I want to show you this verse again. If we flash it back up, flash it on the screen again. I've underlined because we put an emphasis in a place sometimes that I'm not sure that it belongs. We emphasize verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. But the emphasis in this verse is not verse 5. The emphasis in this passage of Scripture is verse 6. The emphasis is, these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. That's the emphasis of this. The emphasis is, you should indeed love the Lord with all your God, with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. But it is the voice of God that enables you to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul and with all your strength. Sometimes we teach our young people, we teach our teenagers, sometimes I think have been taught ourselves, you need to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And then there's this cavity of, okay, well, how do I do that? How you do that is having the voice of God in your life. See, the voice of God causes you to love God with all your heart. The voice of God causes you to love God with all your strength. The voice of God causes you to love God with all of your soul. Don't you understand it? When you value the voice of God, you'll love Him with all your heart. When you value the voice of God, you'll love Him with all your strength. When you value the voice of God, you'll love Him with all of your soul. This is real. Young people, I want to make you a promise. And it's not a promise that is based on Glenn. I want to make you a promise. I'm echoing a promise that is in the Word of God. If you will learn and listen to the voice of God, it will never fail you. Because here's what I know in your world is full of uncertainty. You are entering a strange new land. Listen to me. You're going to get back, and friends that were friends last year are not going to be friends this year. And then they're going to be different friends this year, and they're going to have different ideas and different values. You're going to hear some things taught, some things said that are going to be strange to you. You're going to see some things that are different than you've been exposed to in your life. There has to be something in life that's constant, something in life that is the same, and that thing is God's voice. God's voice will never fail you. I am not saying to you that you'll always get the answer you want. I'm not even saying to you that you'll always understand what God does. I am saying to you that God will always be there. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will always be there for you. So His voice is the one thing. The one thing. Now, what does that look like this morning? And I'm not preaching very long this morning because I want us to get to the communion and the prayer time. But what does that look like in life? Let me give you three ways that I think that applies to our life. Three applications. If the voice of God is the one thing that matters, then let me show you three things this morning that I think will help us to put skin on this concept, if you will. If the voice of God is the one thing that matters, then the first thing is this. Listen to God's voice as though it is the most crucial thing. Do you understand what I'm telling you? God's voice cannot be just another voice in your life. Remember the movie? I don't even remember the name of the movie. I do remember the tagline of the movie. The tagline was, "I hear voices." I don't have any idea who it's. I'm getting some strange looks. Must not have been a good movie. You can tell I don't do movies much. I just remember the tagline. I hear voices. Listen to me. In this world, you're going to hear some voices. In this world, you're going to hear a lot of voices. My prayer for you is that God's voice will be the loudest, clearest voice in your life. That is my prayer for you. I know you're going to hear some other voices. I know you're going to hear some other things. My prayer for you, young people, my prayer for you as parents and as educators is that the loudest voice in your life is the voice of God. That the clearest voice in your life is the voice of God. That the driving voice in your life is the voice of God. Yes, I walk in a world and there's a lot of noise that is out there, but in the midst of the noise, I want to be able to hear the voice of God, because the voice of God is always constant, is always the same. It never changes. If the voice of God is the one thing you need to know, then God's voice must be listened to as it is the most crucial. You say, Pastor, you act like our life depends on it. Yes, your life depends on it. Not just your life, but your life depends on the voice of God, right? Now, it's interesting the way God puts this when he reads out the rest of this. It's interesting what he says. When he says, hear the words which I command you, or these words I command you this day shall be in your heart. Then he flips right around and says this, you shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in the house. You shall walk by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise up, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand. You shall be a frontlets before your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and your gates. Do you hear what he's saying? He's saying two things. One thing he's saying is that the voice of God is the most crucial. Listen to it as though it is. The second thing he's saying is this. Parents, it is up to you to help your children to begin to learn, listen to the voice of God. If I could say something to you as parents, this is not a parenting sermon. If I could say something to us as parents, as Christian parents, I think there are two most important roles that Christian parents play in the lives of their children. One role is that you hear, that you teach them to hear the voice of God. And the second role is that you give them a passion for God above everything else. That's another message for another sermon, but I'll tell you this. What you give them a passion for is what they will worship. What you give them a passion for is what they will worship, right? It is the most crucial voice. It is the most important thing. Pastor, you have like life depends on it. Yes, life depends on it. What do you mean by that? What I mean by that is if the voice of God is the most crucial thing, then don't you dare depend on the school to teach morality. Don't you dare depend on the school to teach modesty. Don't you dare depend on the school to set the standard. Don't you dare depend on the school. It's the voice of God that does that. Listen to it as though it's the most crucial thing, because it's the most crucial thing, right? Turn to somebody and say, the voice of God is the most crucial thing. Say it again aloud with me. The voice of God is the most crucial thing. The most crucial thing. The second thing is this, and I've alluded to it already. The voice of God is the most crucial thing. Therefore, obey the voice of God as though your life depends on it. A little bit further in that instructions that God was given, a little bit further, he says this. He says, diligently keep the commands of the Lord your God. Diligently keep his testimonies. Diligently keep his statutes. Diligently. Watch this. And you shall do right and good in God's sight. That's Deuteronomy 6, 17 and 18. Do you hear what he says? Diligently do what God commands, and you shall do what is right and good in God's sight. You see, the voice of God, here's what that verse is saying to us. The voice of God will lead you right. There are going to be some questionable areas. There are going to be some things that I cannot figure out. Listen to me, guys. There in life, there's still some things I can't figure out. In fact, there's a lot of stuff that I can't figure out. And there are a lot of times that I have to make decisions and go in directions, and I still haven't figured it out. So what do? I turn to the Word of God, and I do what God's command, because I know when I do what God's command, I will do, according to Deuteronomy 6:18, I will do what is good and right. I can count on it every time. That's the voice of God in my life. The voice of God in my life will lead me to what is right and good, even if I don't understand it, even if it don't make sense. If I will obey what God says, if I listen to His voice in my life, I will do what is good and right in His sight. Now step back from that just a moment and think what an incredible gift that is. Because here's what I know. I know there are a lot of places in life. It's true in the schoolroom. It's true in the workplace. It's true in the church. It's true in our relationships. There are a lot of places in life where you just aren't absolutely certain, right? And you've just got to walk. You've just got to do something. You've just got to make a decision. Isn't it good to know that when I do that, if I will do what God says, I will do what is good and right in God's sight. So if the voice of God is what matters, if it's the one thing that matters, I have to listen to His voice as though it's the most crucial thing, and I have to obey His voice as though life depends on it. Because life, abundant life, and eternal life may well depend on it. Amen? Amen. The third thing seems to be a little off, and I'll share this before I try to draw this down. This third thing seems to not fit, but I want you to listen to it. Possess the land God has given you. Now what does that, Pastor, what does that have to do with the voice of the Lord? You understand that God's voice, God's instructions in Deuteronomy 6 was all about going into the land and taking possession of the land and owning the land. In other words, the temptation is to just stay on the side of on the west side of the Jordan River. The temptation is to stay on the opposite side of the Jordan River. They tried that. That didn't work out too good for them, did it? 40 years wandering in the wilderness. But right here, the temptation is to not engage, to not enter, to not possess. Can I tell you something about the Christian life in the last 30 years or so? There's been a lot. I was so encouraged this past week at the response to the whole Chick-fil-A thing. Because of this, yes, the issue concerns me. It concerns me greatly. I talked about that a little bit last week. But what encouraged me most was the Christian finally stood up and had a voice and did something. The voice of God is a voice of possessing the land, of going in. I say enough of the silent. There used to be an idea. It was the silent majority. Well, you see how that has got us, right? It's time the silent majority not be silent anymore. The voice of God in our life causes us to go in and to take the land. Listen to what He says. That it may be well with you. Go in and possess the land, and you will cast out all of your enemies. God's voice leads you to possess the land. I mean, I said, Pastor, you're going to have to explain to me, what does that look like in the school setting? What does that look like in the school setting? What it looks like in the school setting is this. Listen, parents, don't be afraid to get involved. Christian parents, don't be afraid to speak up. Don't be afraid, as a Christian parent, don't be afraid to challenge. Don't be afraid to demand an explanation. Don't be afraid. Listen to me now. I want to be clear about this. I am not telling you to go down there and be belligerent, to be ugly. In fact, I'm telling you the opposite of that. If you go down there and you're belligerent and you're ugly, and then you're going to say you're from the Rock Church, I'm going to say, I don't know you. I'm not talking about that at all. What I am talking about is what my child is taught does matter to me. What they learn does matter to me. What they're exposed to does matter to me. It is important to me. I want to be engaged. I want to be a part of it. And listen to me. May I say this? The teachers in the room will love this. Listen to me. Don't allow your parent, your teacher, the first time, the only time your teacher hears from you as a parent is when you've got a gripe. When you've got something that's wrong, something you want to protest, instead let them hear from you. When they need a volunteer, yours needs to be the first hand to be raised, right? When they need somebody, some help along the way, yours needs to be the first ones helping along the way. What are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about Jesus with skin on that shows the love of Jesus. Then when you have to ask her or him a difficult question or challenge an issue, then you have a place, a voice to be heard. Amen? I'm talking about students. I'm talking about not being afraid to stand up. I'm talking about not being afraid to voice your views. Don't be afraid to be a Christian. Don't be afraid to express your views just because 10 other people in the room and you're one of four. Don't be afraid to express your opinions. Let me tell you why this matters. This matters because of an issue that we talk a lot about and we don't do a lot about. This matters because of peer pressure. You know, this whole instruction in Deuteronomy 6 was God's instruction to a nation on how to handle peer pressure. That's what the whole instruction was about. Peer pressure is not just a teenage thing. Peer pressure is a human thing. It's a human thing. And it is the voice of God in my life that helps me to stand up against peer pressure. Not only does that come through prayer and through time in His Word and through cultivating a relationship with God, but let me tell you, it also comes through positive peer pressure. It is important who your friends are. It is important what they believe. You have to have positive peer pressure in your life. That's one of the reasons that I believe this. It's one of the reasons it's so important that we integrate our children into a church that has positive Christian influence in their life. They have Christian friends that are their childhood friends and their teenage friends and their college age friends. Positive peer pressure can have just as much an effect as negative peer pressure. Therefore, you and I should cultivate positive peer pressure in our children's lives. Amen? Why? Because it increases the voice of God in our lives. Pastor, what do we do with that? What do we do with that? Here's the thing. The one thing you need to know is God's voice. God's voice, above all else, will guide you and lead you in strange new lands. So what do you do with that? Parents, listen. I want you to zero in right here. Parents, listen to God's voice on behalf of your children and your teenagers this year. God will tell you about their friends. God will tell you about what they're facing. God will speak to you about what they're going through. He'll speak to you about their music and their entertainment and about the movies they're watching. He'll speak to you about their education. He'll speak to you about peer pressure. God will speak to you, parents. He's eager to speak to you and talk to you. Why? Because He loves your children more than you do. He loves your children more than you do. Something that teenagers and kids for generations have said. My generation said it, and the previous generation said it, and this generation says it, and the next generation will say it. How is it that mom and dad find out everything? Because God tells them. I believe that. Godly father and a godly mother that will listen to the Holy Spirit. God tells them stuff. I know that makes you feel uncomfortable. It might make all of us feel uncomfortable. Actually, it's a good thing. What it means is God loves me enough that He'll tell my mom or tell my dad that I'm struggling in an area. My mom and dad can come to my side. You're not in it alone, and God sees to it that you're not. Amen? Parents, listen to God. Teens, young guys and young gals that are in the room, listen to me. God's voice has to be the loudest voice in your life. If you want to end up someplace, if you want to end up in the middle of God's will, if you want to end up with His purpose, God's voice has to be the loudest in your life. He'll talk to you about your future. He'll talk to you about your character. He'll talk to you about your friends. He'll talk to you about your entertainment and your choices and your activities and what you need to be involved in. Listen to God's voice. Your life does depend on it. Let me add one other thing. The kids are just slipping in. They're going to come in and just slip in and sit with you. Of course, we're going to have communion here in just a moment. Church, I want you to listen to me. Don't you listen to me, church. Church, you have a role to play in this as well. There, as I look across the congregation, there are a number of people that are here this morning. You don't have children in school, and there's maybe some that don't even have grandchildren in school anymore. Let me tell you, you play a role. You play a role by listening to the voice of God on behalf of those that are sitting on the pew next to you and interceding and praying for them. Listen, these parents need your prayers. Your kids' teachers need your prayers. In fact, we've got some educators in the room this morning, and we're going to pray for them when we pray for everyone else. The educators in this room need your prayers. You got a role to play. God wakes you up at 2 in the morning with an educator or a parent or a student on your heart. Listen, that wasn't pizza, bad pizza the night before. That's God. That's God saying, I want you to intercede. I want you to pray. You've got a role to play. Amen? See, I believe this matters. I believe this matters. The greatest place where Christian culture and secular culture in our society, the greatest place where they rub is in the school. And that's why I believe it's so important that we have a Sunday where we remind ourselves what's at stake and what's going on. And we gather our students and our educators around front and we pray over them. It's part of the reason that I got so many emails and text messages. A lot of those people already had plans and already had arrangements and so forth made, and they just emailed or texted me and said, Pastor, man, I hate that we're going to miss this morning because I know that's important. Please remember us. And we're going to do that when we pray here in just a moment. Why? Because this matters. But I want you to know it can and does make a difference. I don't want this morning to be setting forth a doom and gloom idea in your mind. Deuteronomy 6 was a precursor for the Israelite nation. They did go in. They did possess the land. They did grasp what God had put in their hands and in their plan, His plan for them. And I believe it's true for you guys. I believe it's true for your children. I believe it's true for your grandchildren. I do not believe we have to just allow the world to push back, but rather we can hear His voice. Listen to it as the most crucial. Obey it with everything in our heart. And in doing so, we can indeed possess the land. Amen? Amen. I say to you, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift His countenance up upon you and give you peace. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here this morning. I'm looking forward to what God's going to do in you and through you this school year. God bless you. I love you.